Jake going down on a Thursday with nothing to talk about. Nothing new, nothing interesting.
Yeah. Finally, we do. Finally.
I suppose this is almost less interesting than all of the baseless speculation that we've been throwing out there, all the nonsense and the what's it's. And, you know, now it's like numbers and official stuff. And, you know, what fun is this, Jake? Okay, news. 49ers and Brandon Ayuk got together. They've become official. 4 years, $120 million with $78 million guaranteed?
76. They are staying together for the kid.
For the kid. And the kid being one shot at winning the Super Bowl this year. And you know what? We'll see if this pans out. We'll see if it works, man. Because I'm stunned. I'm like legitimately stunned that they did this.
I thought he was heading for a fifth-year option because, listen, I'd maintained for most of this until probably like this week when it's like, oh, this is not going to happen, that I thought they were going to get a deal done. I thought it like made too much sense. We talked about it from the start when all this like rumbling stuff was going down. We sort of shrugged it off.
Yeah.
And we're like, doesn't make sense. You don't trade, you know, an all-pro player in August. Like, you just don't. Doesn't make sense. Unless you're getting a star wide receiver back in 49ers.
Well,
sniffed. That's more than sniffed around.
That's a thing that we can get into. So Diana Russini coming in today and saying that the Niners were going to trade a third round pick to Denver for Cortland Sutton and then trade Ayuk to the Steelers for, I suppose, a different third round pick or a second round pick, something, just draft picks. But that Denver draft didn't want to.
Yeah, they'd probably get someone, a player back, but yeah.
But Denver didn't want to do it, so that all fell apart. That's a lot less sexy than the hypothesized trade that they had of, oh, well, maybe they'll get Devontae Adams. It's like, yeah, just a little bit different.
Or the literal trades of like Amari Cooper or Matthew Judon.
Right, right. So, okay, let's just be blunt about this. Brandon Ayuk won. He won. It was weird. Yep. It was strange. It was, frankly, pretty unnecessary. But don't tell that to Brandon Ayuk, because the ends justify the means for Brandon Ayuk. He won so much. Just absolute masterclass in negotiation there for Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, masterclass.
I mean, I don't know what it was. And John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I mean, if they win, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. But they got worked over again in negotiations. And this is how many times in a row now when they were supposed to be known as the most shrewd negotiators? They got wrecked by Christian McCaffrey a couple of months ago. They got obviously wrecked by Nick Bosa. And now, you know, Debo Samuel, I think, moved him. And then, you know, now here's Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Taking him behind the shed.
Two things. I think when we were talking about this a while back, I said, listen, because we were ripping Ayuk for how he's handled it. And, you know, when he was doing the social media nonsense, because it was stupid and it I don't think it changed anything. Like, I think if he was silent, it probably would have gotten done earlier, you know, like
who knows
what it mattered. The point is, it was like a weird, he was doing weird stuff and we called it weird. And I think I said, yeah. And we'll rip him, and then he'll still probably get paid a ton of money. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Two, here's the thing. As I texted you, so we've got Bosa got him, mm-hmm. McCaffrey got him, mm-hmm. Ayuk got him. Trent Williams is sure going to get him.
He better.
And the next one down the pike is Brock Purdy.
He's already got him.
I know, but if they're going to learn anything from this, which maybe they will, maybe they won't, I think my takeaway from this should be, they're going to like pay Brock Purdy however much money it is. Do it early. Do it as soon as you can next offseason. Don't do this thing of waiting, because the price isn't going to go down. It's not how it works anymore. They were able to do that in the past, and that's how they did it. But like, it's not going to work.
No. I don't know how much money they have. I mean, it's to the point where they're going to front load this contract. The number I saw was $47 million before April 1st.
Yep.
That is not, the league calendar ends, I think, on March 15th. So that would be money in the first 2 years of the contract, which makes sense, right? That's when you should have money. But I mean, they're already $30 million over. Now you're front loading this contract. There's going to be a lot of people who are in their last hurrahs with this team. And in a lot of ways, we should look at this as sort of the last dance. And next year is going to be a pretty harsh reset.
Yeah,
pretty harsh.
It's coming down the pike is Malik Collins is cut. That's not like a major one, but like that's $10 million. That's just free that you're taking. He has none of that guaranteed. The biggest one is Debo, right? Like for all intents and purposes, barring like injuries or Debo having the greatest season you've ever seen, he's gone.
I think most he's likely. Gone. Yeah, I think he's gone regardless. They simply cannot afford him.
They would save $9 million by trading him before June 1st, $17 million plus after. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it. They're going to carry over a bunch of money into next season.
How much money do they have?
It's still going to be tight.
They got $30 million roughly in cap space right now. I imagine they'd like to use a nice chunk of that, seeing as it's going to get taxed 50%. They still have to pay Trent Williams, which would be explicitly this year's cap number, unless they want to get really wonky with it. You know, a lot of people throwing out here, like, you know, Javon Hargrave, I'm not even sure is worth cutting because it would be such a high dead cap number.
No, you can cut him. If you do it after June 1st, you save like $20 million.
How much do you have on the books, though?
Either way, you're taking it a hit with him. I'm pulling it up right now. Basically, if you do it after June 1st, if you do it after June 1st, you got like $7 million in dead cap on the books. I think he's gone.
Okay, I mean there's no question about that. You save you save $20 million. So that's a nice chunk of change, no doubt about it. Charvarius Ward's probably gone if he has the season we expect, or just plays the same. Let's not even, you know, accelerate this. Let's just say he plays the same. Okay, that's fine. He's gone. D'Amador Lenore might be out of town.
That's the interesting one, right?
Yeah, entirely. And George Kittle better stay healthy. I mean, everybody's on watch. Everybody's on notice now. They have made it very clear on who the future core of this team is. And it's Bosa, it's Ayuk, and it's Purdy. And everybody else can figure it out on their own.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with that, but that's the decision that's been made.
No question. Yeah, I think it was painted last year as like the last dance. Like this is really... It sets up for a situation where you've got, like, you extend Purdy. Yeah, Juice is, I think, probably done.
Yeah, I mean, Strawberry Reacts coming in on Juice, but, like, Juice isn't making serious money. I mean, I'm still scrolling. I'm looking for Kyle Juszczyk on the list, and it's taking forever to find it. I mean, it's...
And he already took a pay cut.
$6 million. Yeah.
He could be fine.
Let's just go to next year's salary cap real fast. And in fact, I might even share this here with everybody from over the cap. If you'll filibuster for a quick moment.
Yeah. So basically you got a situation where Debo, I think it's probably it for him. The thing about Mooney Ward, if you don't extend him, you're still paying him $12 million on the cap.
Right.
Like
there's some of these where it's not a lot of saving. And
like extending Mooney might make more sense because you're already paying him than, you know, Lenore, but you also need a star nickel probably more than you need an outside corner.
Okay, so this is the Niners 2025. I'm not sure if anyone can see this, but I'll read it. And certainly for the audio audience, I'll read it as well. They are already $28.2 million over in cap space. That doesn't seem great. Debo, let's just say pre-June 1, you're going to have $15 million in debt. But Debo, I say they're going to trade him. Doesn't change anything. Post-June 1, you can get a lot of savings. I'm not sure who wants to do a post-June 1 trade for Debo Samuel, but perhaps. So that's he's out. Charvarius Ward's in a void year, but that's just $12 million.
He's just got a $12 million cap hit for not playing for this team.
I mean, I guess they could restructure it and save $8 million. But yeah, I don't know. This is the D Ford situation all over again. It's the Trey Lance situation all over again. Fred is an interesting one, right? I think there's nobody who's safe. Nobody who's safe in this roster. And listen, I think Fred Warner might be as close to safe as anybody, but it's a contract they can get off of.
The only guys I really consider safe on this roster are rookies, guys who are like super cheap, you know, some of it's basically you got rookies and then you've got Purdy, Nick Bosa, and Fred Warner. I think Fred Warner's safe.
I think he is, then
probably Trent Williams when you extend him and you have to guarantee his next year, which might be their holdup.
Yes. This is going to be really fun. It's going to be really tricky.
And
McCaffrey, it's going to take some serious creativity to figure out how you fit $55 to $60 million contract in the space that's allotted. To say it's not enough is an understatement. But, you know, the Niners have been playing funny business with the salary cap now for quite a while. Giannis coming in. Have I said that wide receiver is a bubble yet? No, I haven't. I haven't, but let me say it right now. If this doesn't make you believe it's a bubble, buddy, I don't know. You can say congratulations to Brandon Ayuk. You can say Brandon Ayuk just got paid $30 million. He's getting paid as much as Tyreek Hill. Brandon Ayuk. We can all agree that he's a really good player, but you're paying Brandon Ayuk as much as Tyreek Hill is being paid by the Miami Dolphins. Those are two very different things. It's a bubble. The Niners have decided that they don't care. We'll see how that works out for them. I'm not saying it's going to go poorly, but I'm also not saying it's a win.
It's not that they don't care. They care, but they don't care. Basically, listen, the Niners
don't care enough
upset.
To do something about it.
The Niners are upset. Let me just mention this like very quickly.
Yes.
This thing is so weird. And obviously everyone knows how weird it is, right?
Right.
Like, I'll just go through the quick timeline. They were close in talks.
You're alleging that not just the process, but in fact today and the news coming out continued the strain of weird that has infected everything so far in this process, right?
I'm not even alleging. So here's what happened. The news comes out, right? It's reported by NFL Network. Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofalo, those guys, they tag the agent, Ryan Williams, in it. They say, negotiated by Ryan Williams, you know. Yes. 4-year, $120 million
deal.
Thank
you, Ryan, for sending us the text first.
$76 million guaranteed. And then he puts out another tweet that goes, $47 million by April 1st of 2025. Massive. He says massive, period. Yeah. Like, clearly, like, that's coming from Ryan Williams and Brandon Ayuk's camp. Adam Schefter goes and he says, the deal that Ayuk signed was on the table August 10th. That's his first tweet. Yeah. August 10th, his holdout did not change anything. The hold-in is over. Very clearly from the 49ers of, we didn't cave. We put this offer out there weeks ago. We did not cave.
Don't put in the paper Williams that we goes, caved.
Exactly. Don't put it in the papers we caved. We didn't. And then Ryan Williams quote tweets that and goes, factually incorrect, but the money's still good. Schefter then updates his tweet and says it's August 12th.
Oh, right.
So it was on the table August 12th. That might be the only distinction, by the way, that Williams was talking about just 2 days off, but that it was clearly on the table for a while. So the 49ers wanted out there that, listen, yes, we paid him, but it was an offer we made earlier, and we were not frazzled by his like other stuff, and we actually laid down the law recently, and he caved. Ayuk caved. I'm just saying, for it not to be a celebration of, oh, we finally got this deal done. Yeah. This is our top target. It's Brock Purdy's top target. He's a young player. He's part of this young core. What a deal for them to go. We actually didn't cave. We won this deal. We won it. It's weird. And again, like, it might not matter. Like, it probably doesn't matter. Probably none of these weird vibes matter if it all works on the field, because they've got enough talent that it should work if they stay healthy. That said, don't, like, just ignore that, you know, whatever. Like, The Niners are pissed. The Niners are like, are not happy with the way this went down.
They didn't have to do this. The notion that they like had their hands tied or that they had no agency is preposterous. Like, you could just make them play on the fifth year option and deal with this nonsense next year. But they decided, no, they want to put it behind them. And they paid 25% more than they were going to pay 6 months ago for a player who literally has not stepped on a football field and changed in any appreciable way.
Actually, he's less likely to produce than if they had paid him less.
That's
because
right.
He hasn't practiced.
That's right. So you're paying for three quarters of a season, but you're paying 25% more than you ever would have. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
Shouts to Brandon Ayuk. It was strange and peculiar. I was not familiar with your game. Like, just full stop. He got exactly what he wanted. I'm just baffled. And if I'm Trent Williams, I'm like, you know what? Toss another million or two on top of what I already asked for. Like, why don't we just keep it going while we're at it? And if you're the Niners, what can you say? A precedent has been set. We're willing to pay whatever it takes, right? We're not hardline negotiators. Again, I don't give a damn. I'm not paying for beer at the stadium, right? I don't have season tickets. If I'm a Niners fan who is fiscally invested in this team beyond watching on TV and wearing a jersey, I'm going to feel this.
They're going to be selling a ton of Niners merch at the World Cup. I mean, believe it.
They are. It is.
Oh.
What else?
I should mention, this is a very brief side tangent, but just in terms of money
and
ownership,
what we do here.
The NFL approved a 10% private equity thing where now private equity can come in and basically pay 10% to get in and just inject money into these teams and get it back in a different way. I'm not going to get into the nuance.
They've always had the ability to sell off percentage of ownership share, but now they can sell it to private equity firms.
And I'm just saying, if you're Jed York, that might be fairly appealing.
Oh, I think it's fairly appealing. I mean, the owners approved it. It's fairly appealing to everybody because it's quote unquote free money. And then you find out actually it isn't, because private equity has ruined everything it's ever touched. Ever.
That's right.
Because it doesn't care about anything but increasing shareholder value, and it doesn't actually work to create good products. It creates to exist as sort of a fugazi, as sort of an avatar for profit share, it's so bad. It's so bad. And I'm sure that NFL teams will not regret at all taking that money from people who are not at all interested in helping the product, but in fact only in growing the product at all costs. And by the way, this is like the most classic private equity thing ever, because they don't know the business. The most classic private equity thing of all time is, hey, we come in, we tear everything down, and then we overpay to bring in something that we know that makes no sense whatsoever. So if private equity is already in, if it's already in, overpaying Brandon Ayuk by 25%, that checks out.
Yeah. Also the NFL, I was like reading into this. They are the only league that's like, actually, when private equity sells out and gets paid out, we actually get a cut of what they're paid out based on those terms, because the NFL can do it. You lost me at Fugazi. Great band, by the way.
Great band, Washington, D.C. Josh Harris is from Private Equity, Dieter. And how much has Josh Harris won as the owner of the Sixers or the Devils or the Washington Commanders? So good luck with all that. These private equity guys, get the hell out of here.
But anyway, back to this thing. Giannis seems to want to like get into like what the actual pillars are of this team.
I think that's fair. I think that's the right list.
Purdy's healthy. Purdy, obviously. I mean, you should just assume it's Purdy. Purdy, Ayuk, Bosa, Warner, and then Kittle is the only one that I'm like, it depends on health. And the way he talked about it, he's sort of aware of like, I'm just going to play so well that they have no choice but to keep paying me. And by the way, Kittle only makes like $15 million a year, which is a like,
it's a steal for what he does.
Half of Ayuk is
but
crazy.
Kittle off a post June 1 cut is $7 million in savings, or $15 million in savings with the $7 million dead cap hit. Again, though, you have to think about this. We've talked about this a bunch, and I want to reiterate it here. You know, this draft, I think we all have felt pretty good about it. Now, they haven't played NFL games yet, so you don't know what actually has come of this draft class, and it could all turn into a fugazi pretty quickly, much like the prior two draft classes. But when they drafted Ricky Pearsall, we were adamant in the moment, and now we have to maintain that it was a Deebo Samuel Z receiver replacement. When you draft a Jacob Cowing, it's as sort of backup to that, right? He's a depth receiver on the team. Renardo Green, a guy who they don't need to play right now. He could sit on the bench all year if he had to, even though he shouldn't, because he's a very good player and he's capable of starting in week one of his rookie season. But he's the guy who takes over either from D'Amador Lenore or from Charvarius Ward. And they've cross-trained him in a way to say, hey, they could do it either way. So they're prepared at a couple of spots. I'll tell you where they're not prepared. Tight end, left tackle. Guess they can get away with it at
middle
running back,
linebacker.
Middle linebacker. They're not prepared. So that's something that we have to acknowledge as we sort of look forward here and try to figure out who the Niners will or will not keep. They don't have the depth in place currently to survive at a couple of positions where they get rid of a top player because he's making too much money. And then you end up in a situation where you're not playing from ahead. You're in a situation where you're playing catch up, and now you're trading DeForest Buckner for Javon Kinlaw, and it never works out. That's that situation. Or you're trading three first round picks for Trey Lance because you fell too far behind at quarterback and now you got to catch up real fast. And clearly John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are not good in a position like that. They need no expectations. They need a long paved path in order to draft well, because otherwise it's just luck. It really is. There's no rhyme or reason. And maybe it's like that for every team, but it does feel as if more teams are better positioned going into every draft than the 49ers. And the only time when the 49ers seem to come out ahead in the draft is when they're thinking a year beyond the upcoming season.
Yeah. Real quick, people keep mentioning Hufanga. Like, they're fine. They're fine. Not going to be part of it. Like, they're hopeful.
It's also not a fiscally important player.
Right. It's just people keep mentioning that as like in the same thing as like Lenore. And I don't think that's
like Talanoa Hufanga's base salary is less than $5 million.
Right.
And he's a free agent at the end of the year. Like it's not something that, that's just not of concern. Like, if factually, yes, everyone's right. Like, Hufanga's gone, but we knew that. Like, that's not a new thing.
Well, I was laughing because I thought of the worst idea of all time, which is a 49ers mock draft.
Right now.
right now. It's like, all right, guys, well, we got Ayuk locked up. What are we doing next season?
Yeah, right. This season start doesn't
putting
matter.
Out mocks.
Sim to the end. Sim to the end. I'm legitimately stunned. I'm stunned. And by the way, I call total bullshit on this offer's been on the table since August 10th or 12th. The last 3 weeks have just been a runaround. What are we talking about here? Like, they just think we're suckers.
Right. Like,
and the reality is this hasn't been in the works for a couple of days. Like, obviously it's not something that just happens in 15 minutes with a phone call, but
Ayuk and his side didn't see the 49ers threatening them. Like, the rumblings weren't, like, they weren't told, and they had no idea the 49ers would start threatening them on Wednesday. Like, come on.
I'm not happy with John Lynch on, like, a personal level after that little presser.
He didn't answer your one question.
No, but he was terse and obfuscating. Yeah. And frankly, dismissive. And then he just outright lied a couple times. I mean, I'm standing on the side of the practice field. I'm sure Eric Saubert was getting an earful because he was standing right in front of us for an excessive period of time.
Oh, my God, he was.
And big man could play right tackle. Regardless, when we got the email breaking down the three roster moves, which it's like, well, I can see Eric Saubert. I'm aware he's on the team,
right,
given that you sent this email out. But when Matt Maiocco asked John Lynch, hey, have you done any roster moves with the 53 man today? And John Lynch goes, today, no. And then 5 minutes later, we're on the practice field and they send out an email with three roster moves that are all on the 53. And you're like, right, why did you lie? Like, it doesn't matter because, again, the information got out.
It was weird. It was weird because it's like, not usually like that.
Why are you lying? Why are you pretending as if actually this contract is the exact same with no details whatsoever different from August 12th? Make sure you put that in the newspaper, Adam Schefter. Like, what? Why are you trying to play PR? Just shut up and win football games. Like, you made the move. Let people dissect it however they want. It doesn't matter. If you win the Super Bowl, no one's going to ask you, yeah, but how much did you pay Brandon Ayuk? They'll ask it once the contract's up. And that's on Ayuk just as much as it is on the 49ers because he's the one who said, you need to pay me like a top wide receiver. Better go out and play like one. And I'm not saying there's a much of a gap between him and a, you know, top receiver like an Amon-Ra St. Brown or a CD Lamb or these guys who are getting paid 30, but you're in that class now, buddy.
Yep.
So you better go out there and catch 100 passes.
That's actually the last thing I wanted to mention is, so with these other negotiations, I think it was very clear like how it would work, right? Mm-hmm. When you had Fred Warner, best linebacker in football, linebackers actually don't cost that much.
No.
George Kittle, arguably the best tight end in football, like true tight end. He is the best true tight end. Kelsey's basically a wide receiver.
If you're having a conversation about tight end and you don't include George Kittle in the very short list of best players, you're embarrassing yourself in the sport of football.
Correct. So you have Kittle at the top. You have Warner at the top. Trent Williams at the top. Christian McCaffrey at the top. Mm-hmm. Nick Bosa at the top. Very clearly. Deebo Samuel
when
coming
he
off a border.
That's right.
Borderline off offensive player of the year season and was like being negotiated at the same time as like two of his other receivers by the same agent. So there was like a very clear place.
Mm-hmm.
Ayuk, I think he is a top 10 receiver in the league, but like I'll admit, like still not as proven as other guys. Part of that is the nature of the system and the fact that he's not getting as many targets and he can't go out there with CeeDee Lamb level targets and prove all that. But
they won't put him in the slot for him.
God, I can't even get in. But it's not like clear where Ayuk stands. It's not like you could say, okay, yeah, Ayuk's top 10. It's like you asked me where in the top 10. I'm like, well, let me think. And like on an even playing field, which coach? So there is like a discussion there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge that's the crux of why this was such a pain in the ass to deal with, because the 49ers said, all right, we think you're in like sort of this range. And we think wide receivers are like kind of overpaid. And Ayuk went, well, I'm right here. And you're going to pay me. I'm Amon-Ra St. Brown. And you're going to pay me as Amon-Ra St. Brown. In the end, they pretty much did. So
let me ask you this. Yeah. Let's just lay it on the line here. There's a clear upper echelon, right? Like Justin Jefferson. Like I'm going to ignore the Tyreek Hill of it all because it doesn't make any sense. But is Brandon Ayuk closer to Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, or DJ Moore?
Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, DJ Moore. I guess like DJ Moore.
Okay, well, closer, it doesn't matter because all those guys get paid less than him now.
Right. But like I can't tell you
he's better than all those guys.
Right. Like AJ Brown, I think is sneaky still in that, like kind of that top tier. But
I would legitimately take two out of the three. I wouldn't take Devontae Smith, but if
I wouldn't
take
DJ Moore over Ayuk.
Oh, I think DJ Moore is really, really good, but
no, I think he's really, really good. I think Ayuk's better. But people are debating whether Ayuk was bad or fine in the Super Bowl. I was watching. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, the main problem in that game is they kept going to Deebo and he got clamped by Trent McDuffie. Mm-hmm. Just not to say Ayuk, like
he wasn't perfect,
didn't have issues, but like he was pretty good. He didn't get the ball. And two times listen, I literally asked Brock Purdy and he was like, yeah, if I'd gotten that ball to BA, they would have won the game. And that's not like to say Ayuk is the best wide receiver in the league, but like he didn't play poorly in the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't. And you know, Trent Williams did, and that's where we go now. None of this matters. I mean, it matters to Brandon Ayuk. This is generational wealth, and he's a very, very rich man. And can't say he doesn't deserve it because the market told him flat out this is what he's worth. And it was just him pressing the 49ers long enough to give him what the market said he's worth. But if they don't have Trent Williams, I don't care if you have five Brandon Ayuks. You're not winning the Super Bowl. You're not winning the Super Bowl. So I guess you celebrate it. I don't know. I think that generally
I got a meme for you that perfectly explains this situation.
Okay. That's right.
The old Joe Burrow, when they were like, should we draft Penei Sewell? Should we draft Ja'Marr Chase? And it turned out it worked okay, but Burrow also has a wrist that's, we'll see.
Joe Burrow did take a team with a god-awful offensive line to a Super Bowl.
No question about it. And Kyle Shanahan still regrets that he was not there to beat Joe Burrow in that Super Bowl because they would have beaten them.
Probably.
Yeah, so this is the meme. Just put Trent Williams in for Sewell and mm-hmm. Chase, Ayuk in for Chase. Because,
by the way, can we note this? Not having a future left tackle on this roster right now, as much as we advocated for Ricky Pearsall and as much as we celebrated that pick for the Niners because we liked it, like, not having that left tackle of the future on the roster right now is looking real dumb.
They have two tackles. They have two tackles on the roster currently.
Yeah. Can they slide out Ben Bartsch
and Jalen Moore? No, they can't. It's not even like I wonder if they'll get a deal done with Trent Williams. They have to, because they don't have enough tackles on the roster. And the alternative, someone asked, like, John, are you, or Kyle, like, could you, you know, you're going to bring back Chris Hubbard, Brandon Parker, maybe? If you're asking that question, like, not to shit on whoever's asking, like, I just mean, if the question itself is being asked of, you think you guys might need to bring back Chris Hubbard or Brandon Parker, and you're seriously going, yeah, we're going to need those guys, you're cooked. Like, you can't be serious and say, all right, we need, you know, Chris Hubbard and Brandon Parker. Like, it's just not a serious approach. So Trent, I would say the deadline, the true, true deadline for Trent, as far as the 49ers are concerned, is like next Friday, because that is like their real practice of the week. Like the day before, like, let's call it Thursday, he practices Friday. You got to have him in the building.
Yes, full stop. And every day that he's not there, he gets to just say, actually, the price went up. You're going to pay me the full bulk for fewer games. This is a win for me. I'll do this all fucking month. I'll do this all season.
Yeah. One regret I wish is it wouldn't have mattered, but like, I wanted to ask John, do you think you can win a Super Bowl without Trent? And I should have just asked.
We should have done it, yeah. It's honestly such an obviously... like, just to see him squirm.
No. Yeah, I should have. That's my only regret. And the answer is no, not even close.
Is Hubbard better than McKivitz? No, both of those players are legitimately awful. Like, I don't. Hubbard. I don't mean Hubbard to be crass, but they're Hubbard's really, really not, bad. No, Hubbard's
not good. But he's Parker's worst.
Let me ask you. Have Hubbard or Parker been picked up by any other teams?
No,
they're not even on a practice squad. They're just hanging out there in a league that's desperate for offensive tackles.
I mean, against these guys. I'm just saying they were.
I'm sure they're lovely men or not. I don't give a hoot. I'm going to talk about them in the realm that they play. They play professional sports for a living. It is public entertainment. We're out there. They're out there. We get criticized. They get criticized. We praise. They praise. Like, it's fair game, buddy. I'm not impugning their personal character. I am impugning their ability to play football at an NFL level. I am. Full stop. They're not very good. They're certainly not good enough. And if this is your plan... And
the 49ers didn't pretend they were.
Well, if they don't have Trent Williams, then they're coming back into the fold as their plan. And that's a really shitty plan. That's a really shitty plan. And it doesn't matter, again, how many Brandon Ayuks you have. You can have all of your best players on the field. You're not protecting Brock Purdy with the offensive line they have today. You're not doing it. And it's some real late-stage Russell Wilson Seattle energy with him just running around behind an offensive line that was getting beat off the snap again and again and again. And it just, how did that work out?
Listen,
it was fun, but it didn't work out.
You talk to offensive linemen, they're great dudes, lovely to talk to, but like objectively speaking, this is a very clearly like bottom five unit in the league if they do not have Trent Williams. And like, you could debate that, whatever. They were like middle of the pack with Trent Williams. And like, these guys are okay. Like, Pooney's showed well. Jake Brendel has had trouble snapping his knees. You know, we'll see if that holds up. Aaron Banks is a pinky thing. Cole McKivitz is... You know, he's paid cheaply to be a right tackle, very cheaply.
You can do worse than Colton McKivitz, and that's if you pay someone more than Colton McKivitz to give you Colton McKivitz snaps, which is
it's all built around Trent Williams. And if you don't have him or something that's even half of him, I don't know how you can theoretically go into the season and say, yeah, we feel good about this.
No. So get it done. And here we go.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe we will talk about that. Maybe we will. Or maybe we'll be talking a lot about Dominic Pooney this season. One way or another, Brandon Ayuk is very, very, very rich, and the ends have justified the means, and hopefully they did the same for you here, whatever the hell this was.
Pause, and that's it for the show.
Thanks. Adios.